The Nolan Show can exclusively reveal this morning that the police have solved, guess how many shootings, paramilitary style, in the last 3 years. Guess how many? The answer is zero. Since 2012, 85 people have been shot in Northern Ireland, but not one person has been charged or prosecuted in that period. That's despite a former chief constable making a promise to clamp down on these brutal attacks back in 2012. Matt Baggett told me he was going to target the men carrying out the shootings and beatings.
There is going to be a major initiative against the paramilitaries who still use this obscenity as a way of actually imposing their own power and will on their own communities. And this is something that goes back a long time, as people that live here know. And it's limited to a number of areas, but it is unacceptable and it is an obscenity. I spent a very good day in one of the areas most affected last week, which was Derry, meeting a number of people quietly and privately to discuss the problem. Because I take a very personal interest in this, as do my colleagues. But the encouraging thing is, people are telling us more and more about the people that are doing this. We never had that trust before. We never had that willingness to share. That can be anonymous.
So that was Matt Baggett promising to target the men, and not one person prosecuted over the last 3 years. Can the blame be put entirely on the police? What about the community? What are you doing to help bring these thugs to justice? 08459 555 678. Assistant Chief Constable Stephen Martin with us today. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, you're not exactly doing a sterling job when we look at the stats, are you?
No, we're very disappointed with the results and right at the outset. I think it's important to say and express that disappointment. We find this a very difficult crime to deal with for a whole host of reasons that I'm happy to discuss with you. But at the outset, could I also say that this type of behaviour is just totally unacceptable. And I think it's important that people like me and anybody with influence condemns it in the strongest terms. It's barbaric. It's grotesque. People, on the basis of gossip and rumour, with no due process, no rules of law, are subjected to terrible beatings and shootings and often get life-changing injuries.
Yeah, but since 2012, 85 people shot in Northern Ireland. You would expect you to catch somebody.
Well, our figures are poorer. If we go back since 2009, we have had people before the courts for them, people convicted and not guilty. But I'm not here to make any excuse over the figures. The figures are poorer. We have investigated all paramilitary assaults and shootings since that time. We treat them as very serious crimes. We look for CCTV opportunities. We look for house-to-house inquiries. We follow up any forensic opportunities. But it is very difficult and it's very seriously constrained by the lack of cooperation, often by the victims. Now, we understand that victims have been subjected to those attacks.
Well, that's because people are terrified.
Yes, they're in fear. There have been four assaults overnight, last night, which bear all the hallmarks of this type of activity. And I've asked the question overnight. I was briefed on a number of them. And certainly it looks like at least two of them, and probably be more, again, the victims are willing to cooperate. And because of our legal system, Stephen, if you don't have a victim who's willing to make a statement and willing to cooperate with the criminal justice process, it makes it practically impossible to secure a conviction. Now, I understand people are frightened. I get that. But it presents us with serious difficulty.
Well, here's the other issue. There's community support for some of this activity. That's the other issue. It's not just fear. It's people thinking to themselves that they want to see people getting shot. That's the, you know, it's not very savoury, is it? But that's the reality.
No, well, that's not savoury at all. And there's no doubt that some of this is directly related to the legacy of our conflict. You know, this type of activity is straight out of the paramilitary playbook. It's about controlling communities. It's about gaining influence in communities. And I think that's what you're alluding to, gaining influence in communities. And there's no doubt that the police have a role and a a part to play, and we do take that very seriously. And you know, we're not dismissive at all around this, and we fully investigate them as far as possible. But there is no policing solution to this. It is as much a societal and cultural problem, as you're alluding to, as it is a policing problem.
So apart from you saying it's wrong, what are you offering today? What are you going to do with this?
Well, we will continue to investigate. There are four overnight. We will continue to investigate them, and we will seek every opportunity we have. Certainly the two victims that I asked about overnight who were unwilling at that stage to provide statements, we will follow up again today with them. But the answer to this, isn't just a policing solution. It is about trying to break the cycle of fickleness in some occasions support for
and
this
with respect, Stephen, I've heard that before, and it's the right thing to say, but I've heard that before. Is there no new initiative from the police? Are there no new ideas, no momentum, no campaign? Nothing from the police to tackle this.
Well, you played Matt Bagot at the top of the show, and every single one of these attacks since 2009 has been reviewed. We've went back to victims, we have looked at the files and the paperwork to see if there's any investigative opportunities, looked at the forensic submissions, and to be honest, it has had very, very little success. We have we have had Facebook campaigns, not in the face of justice. I'm aware that in Belfast there's another campaign coming up in the near future, and we will do everything we can. But it is a very, very difficult crime to deal with because of the fear that you've alluded to and people's lack of cooperation. And it really is a policing problem, yes, but also a societal and cultural problem that is a legacy of our country.
Maybe with your cutbacks, this is far down your priority list.
No, it's not. And in fact, I have been asked a number of questions in recent months at the policing board public sessions on this very crime. It is going to continue to be a priority for us, but it's a difficult one for us to deal with for the problems I've said. But cutbacks won't affect the priority we put on people getting shot and the priority we put on people getting assaulted. You know, one of those assaults last night has left a man with very, very serious injuries. So we take that extremely seriously, and we'll do everything we can to place people before the courts, but we can't do it without cooperation.
Well, listening to this, Jim Wilson, the East Belfast community worker. Morning to you, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
And Jared Hodgkins, former member of the IRA. Morning to you, Jared.
Morning, Stephen. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. Assistant Chief Constable, thank you very much. Morning to you.
Thank you.
Jim Wilson, what's the solution here? How much of the community actually supports this type of mayhem?
Stephen, I was on your programme 2 years ago with the present-day Chief Constable with this whole issue. And first of all, I'll say that it is totally wrong. It shouldn't be happening. But I give reasons why people in their communities felt that sometimes it was justified. And to me, it's never justified now because, you know, it's people taking the law in their own hands. Someone being sort of convicted by a kangaroo court that of something that has been probably word of mouth or hearsay or whatever, but over the past while back in loyalist areas, and I can only speak because I don't live in Republican areas. No, there's a lot of groupings that are working towards eradicating all this, and I think if you look at the figures, you'll probably find that it's massively higher now in nationalist Republican areas than it is in loyalist areas, because you know the ACT program reach and charter in East Belfast are working along with alternatives and other groups to eradicate all this from our communities. And I know that probably in Republican areas, similar is happening. But with the rise of dissident Republicans, I feel that you know they're wanting to give the community so that they can get some type of support from that community. They're giving what they see as justice out in the streets there, which is wrong, and it's totally wrong. But how do we get, and I said this on your program, the PS and I know are working within the loyalist community. They're speaking to our people on a regular basis. There's sectionalizing areas where they're going to speak to people, and they're trying to bring the people within our communities together to try and fight against these things that are happening. Because, see, crime is happening in their areas, but the problem with crime is if you don't catch those people who are responsible for it, then word of mouth goes out. How do we stop the housebreakers and the wee thugs that are robbing grannies and stuff like that, you know?
Well, Jared Hodgkins used to be in the IRA. They were very proficient at this type of illegality, weren't they?
Yes, the IRA was very proficient at kneecapping and beating people.
back in the bad old days, Stephen, when thankfully they've evolved away from it. One of the problems that you have within sort of nationalist areas is that the dissident world, it's almost in a constant state of flux where you get new groups appearing for a few weeks and then they re-emerge as some other name. Largely, most of them are driven by a criminal agenda to make money. And they would be targeted. They would, as Jim says, they would announce their presence by kneecapping somebody, some pure soul, to say, we're here to save the community. And on the other hand, you have groups professing a Republican agenda, but they're practicing a criminal agenda, and they're actually taxing people who either sell drugs or are involved in low-level criminality, and people who don't pay up are liable to be shot, so they are.
Jared, these type of attacks once served a purpose. When did they serve a purpose, and why then and not now? When do you think they were justifiable?
They were justifiable. They served a purpose whenever there was a complete breakdown between relationships between people in the areas where I live on the state. There was no support whatsoever for the RUC, the court system, or any part of the legal system. And people would have wanted the IRA or the INLA and asked them to punish people.
Yeah, but how can that ever be justified?
I'm not justifying it, Stephen. I know it wasn't right. We should never have been doing it. We should never have gotten in the trend to solve local disputes, local crime, because we were not built for it. We were not geared for it. And it was a very imperfect solution. But the only things they got done was it gave people immediate satisfaction if they seen somebody who had broken into their house, beat their son, their father up, or done some other bad thing. If they see somebody getting kneecapped or beaten, it gives them immediate sort of a sense of satisfaction. In a way, it's a type of vengeance, and it's wrong. It should never be left to victims to decide what punishments will be, and that's why we need legal systems which we can all buy into and support.
You know, the reason I'm doing this at the top of the show today is I think we all in Northern Ireland have become indifferent to this. That, you know, we hear in the news, someone's been kneecapped in a so-called paramilitary style beating, and we don't bat an eyelid. And it shouldn't be the norm. It shouldn't be part of Northern Ireland. And these things are on the increase. 2013 to 2014, there were 24 of them. February 2014 to January 2015, 35 casualties resulting from paramilitary-style shootings.
No, there's almost an attitude when you hear on the news that somebody has either been kneecapped or beaten. There's almost like a sort of subconscious acceptance of there's part of you say, well, he didn't get it for nothing. But in an awful lot of cases, they do get it for nothing because be it the IRA, the NLA, UVF, government, everybody can make a mistake. People have been punished wrongly. They have been left with life-changing injuries and trauma. And it's a system that has no place in a modern society.
Jim?
Well, Stephen, I think that the paramilitaries and the dissidents that are out there that get the information are getting the information from the community. The community needs to be more proactive with the PSNI, the laws, the people who institute the law. And I believe that, you know, there's been this fear of people being named as touts from years ago when the troubles were on, when there was paramilitaries and there was paramilitary activity in all areas throughout Northern Ireland, and people were engaged in the conflict. The conflict is now gone in reference to the way it's supposed to be. People need to get back to normal society. Normal society is that if you have information about people breaking into houses or doing anything that's illegal, drugs or anything, it needs to go to the law and order people, which is the PSNI. And if people within the community start to accept that they're not touting, and this is what the biggest problem is within Republican and Loyalist areas, they are not touting what they are doing. They're doing a service to the people in their community, the people who have an entitlement to live in justice and peace in all of our communities. And if those people have that information, instead of giving it to paramilitaries and groups and dissidents, and that give it to the PSNI and let the PSNI deal with it in whichever way they can. But then again, the PSNI must in some ways react to that there, the community, because if they ignore the community and constantly say, oh, well, so we need more evidence, we need this, they need to also go out and try and find out how, what, where, and when is happening in these communities. And then hopefully the people will have more confidence in what's happening. And then the acceptance of this will start to drop down to
to a place where, probably where it should be.
Here's Robert in Belfast. Morning, Robert.
Stephen, I think that the judicial system, you have to assume, I got the flu, the judicial system has a lot to do with all of this here. The punishment has to fit the crime. I mean, you see it all the time, every day, kids beating up old people, breaking into houses.
You're not trying to condone this, are you?
Absolutely not. I'm saying there's no punishment to fit the crime that's issued by the judicial system. If that wasn't in place, we wouldn't have this stuff.
You sure?
From personal experiences, yes. Excuse me. From personal experiences, yes.
You see, you say if that happened, we wouldn't have all this stuff, right? If there were tougher sentences. But you're giving the people who are doing this, who are shooting people in the knees and the legs and wherever else, you're giving them a modicum of respectability.
I'm not giving them
in suggesting that they've got a logic. Maybe they're just twisted.
No.
Maybe they're just power hungry.
I'm not giving them any kind of support, or I'm not condoning any. I'm merely stating a fact that it's common knowledge that people who commit crimes, especially the younger people, do not get adequate punishment. I mean, even in the animal kingdom, there's chastisement for misbehaviour among animals and their young. Now, we're the highest order of animal. We're supposed to have a brain and can think for ourselves. I'm not condoning any kind of, but there has to be consequences for bad behaviour. And it has to come from the judicial system. Instead of sending them to Spain for 2 weeks' holidays after they break some other kid's leg, they should put them in jail.
Well, they do put them in jail.
Well, they don't put them in for long enough then. Excuse me. I'm not saying that that's the ultimate answer. I mean, you look at the American system, the judicial system there, with tens of thousands of people in jail. Most people, a lot of people spend their lives in jail. It doesn't change them. But that doesn't mean to say everybody's going to behave like that.
Lindsay, morning, Lindsay.
For bad behaviour.
Hello.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
Is that you, Stephen?
Yes.
Sorry, I thought I was speaking to one of the researchers. Hi, Stephen. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm a bit behind it. I've just caught on to the last part of the conversation. I'm sorry I switched on late. I'll tell you what it is I'm ringing you about, Stephen. It's all very well to go to the PSNI and, if you like, tout on someone. It has to be followed up through the judicial system, and I can't think of many people who are living within a community who would have the guts to do that. So it's all very well to go to the police, yes. It then has to be followed up. The police need hard evidence. How many people would be willing to go out there, put their head over the parapet and say, yes, I did see this person do that, living in some of the communities?
Well, that's about us making them feel protected, isn't it?
Us making them feel protected?
Yes. Well, who else would make them?
Stephen, a point in case. Last night, for instance, I haven't been out for a lot of days. I was out last night at a car park in the Antrim area, just a car park. The police were speaking over loudspeakers, asking the people who were there, which were guys and girls with, they weren't speeding, they couldn't have done over ramps. That is where the police were positioned. In any circumstance that I have had to use the PSNI, I've been talking 24 hours, sometimes up to 48 hours for response. So no, it has to be followed up. Feel protected by the police.
Can you imagine any situation, Lindsay, in which you would...
Once your job's done, Stephen, once your job, you have went to the police. Once that job's done, that's all the police want to do, then they have to secure a conviction.
Can you imagine any situation in which you would support these type of beatings?
I don't support any type of beating, Stephen. What I'm saying is that the alternative isn't great. In fact, the alternative is almost impossible.
Stephen, can I make a point?
For some people.
Yes, Robert, go ahead.
Make a point here, please.
Yeah.
I want to say that we have a system here, you see, which is actually the nanny state. We're like, you know, for the last 30 years or so, we're 40 years.
What a load of nonsense.
Can I speak, please? I didn't interrupt you.
Go on ahead. Sorry, go on ahead.
We have 30 or 40 years when the right to chastise your own children was taken from you. And consequently, what we have then, we had children who were brought up who didn't really know much about respect or tolerance or how to behave themselves or be respectful. I mean, the words like excuse me, thank you and pardon me are rare.
I agree with you entirely on that point. Sorry, I agree with you entirely on that point, and that's a personal choice. I can see it all right me as well.
What we have here is those children, now adults, maybe into the second generation, who never had been taught manners, never known how to behave respectfully, couldn't respect people's property. They're having children themselves, and they don't have anything to pass on.
I have no qualms about what you've said whatsoever. In fact, you can go into the third generation if you want, and even the fourth. Thankfully, I brought my children up with respect, because I was brought up with respect for a property.
Here's Thomas in Antrim. Morning, Thomas. Hello, Thomas.
Morning.
Go ahead, Thomas.
I'm 50 years of age. Most of my life in the Troubles, or the aftermath of the Troubles, come from the Lower Newtonarge Road. I get educated, I get out, and I'm now working across the world. The dearth and the lack of leadership from unionist politicians is one of the biggest problems in this country. If they thought they would lose 100 votes, they'll not deal with it. You know, my DNA, you see these idiots with flags, you kind of laugh. But it's not funny. Because underachievement and working class, lower, you know, Protestant, there is no less, and nobody's addressing it. And it's my politicians have been waving a flag.
What's this got to do with what we're talking about today, though? What's this got to do with so-called punishment beatings?
I would like to know how many of the punishment beatings and paramilitary activity, what the split is between loyalists and Republicans.
Well, I'm sure we can find that out.
I would say you will find that the vast majority is in the paramilitary activity, and probably the low-grade stuff, knee cappings and threats, is in the loyalist side. Yeah.
Let's be careful. Let's be careful even with the terminology, low-grade. What's low-grade about shooting somebody in the knees?
Well, I'm thinking threats and beatings and stuff. There's none of it, Stephen, is acceptable. But I think if you drilled into it, you'll find there's more happening in loyalist communities than there is Republican. The Republican communities have moved on, educated, lawyers, solicitors, engineers, and there's thousands of young people in the loyalist areas, and they're caught in a time war.
This isn't an exact science, but it mainly seems to be shootings by Republicans and beatings by loyalists. Now, that doesn't hold all the time, but that's in general what it looks like.
Low-grade.
I wish you would stop saying low-grade.
You know, it's beatings in the loyalist communities and shootings in the Republic. Yeah. None of it is acceptable, but it just proves the point that I just made.
Thomas, thank you. Dee Fennell with us today, the Greater Ardoyne Residents Collective. Morning to you, Dee.
All right, Stephen.
I'm not
ringing in on behalf of Clark. I'm ringing in as an individual, like as a community activist.
Ringing in on behalf of yourself?
Oh, absolutely. You can do that still nowadays, you know.
What's the score here with these punishment beatings?
I think in terms of coming from a Republican community, a community where these attacks have been happening for decades now, I think the elephant in the room is that for a lot of people in Republican areas, they still hold a lack of confidence in the police here. The PSNI would be seen in Ardoyne and in areas of Derry where these attacks are taking place as well as being as unacceptable as the RUC. And I think there's a conception, and in my opinion, it's a reality, that many of the people that are engaged in criminality and anti-social activity in Republican areas are being recruited as informers and agents. And any time they're arrested, they seem to be released after a very short period of time in order to renew their activities. So local people, for their own reasons, see more confidence in paramilitary organisations than they do in the PSNI.
So you're blaming the police?
I'm not blaming anyone. I'm giving an analysis of the reality in Republican areas in the six counties.
Do you condemn these so-called punishment attacks?
The attacks shouldn't be happening. In a normal society, they wouldn't be happening, but the fact is, we don't live in a normal society. We live in a divided society and a country that's partitioned, and as such, we'll have a political police force. And so what you're going to see is the communities are going to effectively, and in my opinion, with some justification, they're going to look to people within those communities to take up the mantle of justice.
All right, now, some justification.
We'll have to work towards ending these attacks.
What's the sum justification in shooting people, Dee Fennell? What's the sum justification?
Well, communities see that people involved in criminality that are seen to be getting away with it on a regular basis, that there's justification for armed groups to take action against them. Stephen, I'm just giving you the truth in Republican areas. Ardoyne has seen a number of shootings over the last decades, and that is why there's no confidence in British law and order, no confidence in the PSNI in Ireland amongst Republican communities. And until then, that it's just an inevitability that people are going to seek community responses rather than contacting the PSNI. The policing board and policing board members are constantly saying that people should give information. They've justified use of child informers, of recruiting vulnerable young people. It's happened in the past. People have came forward to Republican organisations and explained exactly how they were used at a time of vulnerability in their lives by the PSNI and the MI5 and recruited as informers, and a blind eye was turned to their criminality and illegal activity.
Do you think some of the people that shoot children, for example, are child abusers?
I don't think anyone should shoot a child or hurt a child in any way whatsoever.
So there's no some justification in that? It's just some adults?
There's no justification for ever harming a child in any way.
But there's justification in shooting adults, in your view?
No, I never... Stephen, I'm saying that in the community, there is some... People see that there's some justification for actions taken against criminals. Serious criminals.
And are you prepared to tell them this morning they're wrong? There's never any justification?
As someone said there earlier, on occasions mistakes have been made and there's no justification for mistakes being made. I mean, at the minute there's two lads at Craig Avon 2 lying in jail for no reason. That's a miscarriage of justice.
I'm not talking about miscarriage of justice. I'm not talking about if it's a mistake. Let's say someone is a thief. Let's say someone is a criminal. You know, it's not all right to shoot them. It's not all right for these people within your community and other communities to decide that they're going to be judge and jury, is it?
People take that action as a result of demands from the community. People don't go out and take this action willy-nilly, put themselves at risk of arrest and whatever else, just for no reason. They do so because the community demands it. And I would be of the opinion of being the same in loyalist areas. They see no justice.
Well, they do so because they're sick. They want power, don't they? They get off on the power.
I would reject that, Stephen. I don't see the thing. I know... Jared was right. There are groups masquerading as Republicans within our communities that are attempting to tax drug dealers, and they should be exposed and ostracised by genuine community and Republican activists. But I don't take that on board that they're looking poor. I believe it's a community response to a lack of activity by the PSNI against criminals in working class communities. And I believe it's in their interests to see working class communities on their knees and being victimised by criminals, drug dealers, joyriders. I mean, areas like Divis have been plagued with joyriding. Ardoyne, the New Lodge, other areas of Belfast, plagued with drug dealers. They're being arrested, they're being released within hours. And it's not across the board. If someone's engaged in an assault or whatever, they're being arrested, they're being remanded, they're being charged. You're a top drug dealer. Not only are you being released, you're not even being named in the press. If you're a Republican and you're arrested and you're not even charged, your name's plastered all over the papers. It's a double-tier system, and people in Republican communities are turning to these organisations because they see nowhere else to turn. If there was anywhere else to turn, communities would turn to them.
Okay, interesting stuff. I'm sure the police would reject a lot of what you've just said there. Dee, thank you. Sure.